Once upon a time, long, long ago, before this story, David knew how to behave and be balanced. Because of lack of time, I won't turn to the scriptures. I will just quote them. You remember when he went out to battle, and then all the women were singing, David this, David that, David that. And you find this expression, David behaved himself wisely, so that all the people were happy with what he has done. He was a good leader. They were inspired. He did no wrong. So he was a very balanced personality. Maybe he has tasted too much grief by the time of the story in 2 Samuel. And then remember another time when his kingdom was about to expand and be united, when Judah was about to unite with Israel, because the guy in the north, who was Saul's uncle or somebody, was fighting against Joab, and David's house grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Israel grew weaker and weaker. Until the end, the big general in the north says, I want to join David, because he didn't want to listen to one of Saul's descendants. And Joab secretly murdered that general. I mean, that could have been a political disaster for David. Right? All the Israelites could blame him for killing that general. And the 10 tribes could say, we're not going to join you. But David, he moaned. He moaned for that general. And all the people saw that David did not intend to kill him. See, he did the right thing. But now he's old. He's seen many, many griefs, probably need healing. He's behaving wrongly. All the soldiers creep back like defeated. And they have to go into the camp quietly like a mouse. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hey, David is crying there. Oops. And they all go to sight. Sneak into their camp like little mice. Tail stuck between their legs. And it was the general who came to David and said in chapter 19. Now Joab was not always a very nice man. Joab is a very rough shot man. Remember, he was the murderer of the general of Israel. So he's guilty. He got blood on his hands. But here's where, you know, he came to David in verse 5. And he says in verse 5. Chapter 19. We are now in 2 Samuel 19 verse 5. Joab says, today you have disgraced all your servants who today has saved your life, the lives of your sons and daughters. You got many sons and daughters who have died too. The lives of your wives, the lives of your concubines. You love your enemies and hate your own friends. And that's a terrible thing. The Lord did say love your enemies, but the Lord didn't say hate your friends. You know, love your friends and love your enemies. That's God. But here David, you know, was accused. And Job says, your own friends. He says, you have declared today that you regard neither princes nor servants. But today I perceive, if Absalom had lived and we all died, you would have been pleased. Oh, he really gave it to the king. And David realized his mistake. He came out to celebrate. It was hard, but he came out to celebrate. So finally, everybody celebrated. That's called balance. I got many stories in the Bible like this. I could give you a few of them. This is not the only one. You know, Abraham had a few things in his life, and Sarah, and all this. And the people in the Bible, balance. They're finding their balance in life. It could be a balance in your spirituality, balance in your emotions, balance in their natural life, balance in your family. Everything needs balance. Balance Christianity. And so we conclude with the principles for balance. Number one, the balance have to come from God's word. How can you say what is balance? There must be a measuring stick, correct? So the true measuring stick of balance is God's word. It determines what is finally right and wrong. Of course, the other problem is it takes a long time for people to understand what God's word really say in some areas. So you just got to keep praying, keep studying, keep meditating. But it's God's word. Number two, the balance has to come from inside a person outwards. You cannot make a person who is imbalanced balanced by forcing them from the outside. That is why the secret to bringing up good children who love the Lord is not by just giving them the Ten Commandments. You might as well become Moses, grow a beard and wear a robe and take a big fat stick. You're not going to bring up good children. And I see a lot of ministers, a lot of what I call sincere Christians who don't know how to produce godly children. They go extreme, again balance. They go to the other extreme and they want their children to live in a world like no evil exists. And everything must pass the standards of heaven to be in the house. It's not possible on this planet. So their children are not allowed anything that conceivably is of the world. Not even a cartoon show. And there are Christians today who are still trying to find a balance. When the Pokemon phenomena came, Christians went against that. Harry Potter thing, Christians go against that. And no doubt, I agree, there are a lot of things that are demonic out there. But you got to find your balance. And the balance is not a standard that the church or the preacher can set, or a church could set up in a writing in black and white. You know why? People have different levels of spirituality and growth. Remember the conscience thing again? A conscience thing again. One Christian can look at the thing and pick out what is bad and what is good. Another Christian cannot. So for that Christian, for them should not. For the other Christian, that's okay. And what happens if you work in the censorship board of Australia? You got to wash all the dumb stuff. You just have to be a stronger Christian. That's all. So definitely, that job is not for all Christians. But at the same time, it's wrong to say no Christian should have the job. Then we are dead and gone. All the non-Christians will be determining the standards for this country. Can you see the point? So a lot of what I call oversimplification of pastors of theology that say, this is one rule for everybody. How many times have you bought clothes that say, one size fits all? It never fits anybody. So there's no theology that says one size fits all. Although there are moral commandments that we cannot ban. Outside of that, the practical issues of Christian life, there are a lot of varying acceptable standards that God gives to each individual. So that's why number two is important. It has to be from the inside, which is why the earlier two sermons that we preach on this series is important. You got to determine the conscience level, the knowledge level of a person, the faith level. To find at what level that you could guide them. You see, we are to guide people, not to arm twist people into conformity. Which is why in every organization I run, whether it be church or in general anywhere, and we run organization, church organization, we have been over hundreds of people in authority. We don't arm twist people to follow rules. We don't guide people by rules. We guide people from level to level to level. I would like people to be at level 10, but if someone is at level 2, I won't talk about level 10 yet, I keep talking about level 3. Although I myself may be at level 8. That's the way Jesus deals with us. It has to come from inside a person, an internal revelation or internal realization. And which comes to number 3, it is a time process. It takes time. Being balanced takes time. It takes time to grow into those balance. So don't expect when people are doing the wrong things or something that is wrong or desires that are wrong or they are on one extreme, don't make a rule and say, by 24-hour time, I want you to be here at level 10 where it's balanced, and the person is over there at 1. Or another person is at number 20, which is too much on that side. He say, by 24 hours, I want you to be at 10. You can't do that. Rule number 3, it gives a person time. Even when they launch a rocket, they don't say, 10, 9, 8, blast off! No! 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, lift off, ignition. Even they will count down. So if a person is too much, give them time to count down. Well, let's take a different number. Take 0 as a balance. A person moves to 10, you know, this is too much on that side, not balanced. You say, move back. Give them time to move to 9, to 8, to 7, to 6. A person on minus 10 on the other side. Give them time to go to minus 9, minus 8, minus 7. 3 rules. 1, God's word is the final measurement. Number 2, it is from the inside of a person. It has to be an internal thing, not an external thing. You can make 1,000 laws and people will still be lawless. More laws doesn't make people lawful. It just produces more lawlessness. You have sufficient laws that... You know what laws should actually be? Laws should actually be the expression of a vision of what we want. And keep it before people. But as to guiding people to fulfill the law, there are many ways into that. And that's why the 3 rules are important. Number 1 is God's word is the standard. Number 2, it comes from inside. Number 3, there is a time process. Nobody changes overnight. Nobody changes overnight. Change needs time, takes time. Are you prepared for number 3? So how will we know we are balanced? By the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. Whenever the fruit is not working, you're off track. You get impatient with people, you move too much into the law. You are there's no progress and people are getting worse and more sinful, you move to the other extreme of liberty. So it's important to be balanced. Let the fruit of the Spirit rule in our life. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your grace and your mercy into our lives. We ask, O God, as we grow as Christians, that we understand that these are all practical issues of Christian life. We need to be what you want us to be. Father, help us not to impose our standards on others. Not to make others want to be like us. But everyone, Lord, has our own diversity. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. Let this truth sink into our hearts and make us the kind of Christians you want us to be. Highly spiritual, yet highly practical. Deeply spiritual, and yet completely pragmatic. We thank you, Father, that spirituality is not some hyperspace, but it's true reality of how to live this life for you. Most of all, that we could glorify Jesus through all that we are and all that we do. Give you all the glory and worship, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God that no birthday celebration.